Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Do you notice on the bulletin the title of the sermon? Why don't I ever hear any good news? I listen to the news all the time. When I can, I go online and I read all the newspapers and magazines. And certainly, as you said, my health hasn't been the best this winter, so I have visited my fair share of doctors of a whole bunch of different varieties. They all seem to have the same magazines, just older than the other guy. And I read and I read. And for some reason, I don't seem to hear a lot of good news. There's a lot of news. To me, it's not always good news. You know, I really don't care what this person is doing or what that person is doing or who's seeing who. It just doesn't matter to me. I don't know why it matters to anybody, but they do sell a lot of magazines. But I was wondering all winter long, and most of my life actually, why don't I ever hear any good news? Well, as I pondered this for a while, when I had to think back before I became a Christian. When and how did I hear good news? And was it really good news? Well, I know that I heard news and that for the moment it was good news, but as a long-standing event, I couldn't think of very many. So I came up to today and said, why can't I have something good news that I can share that I know would last, but I have to hear it somehow? So I'm going to start off with a passage that's so well known to us, we could almost recite it by heart. But I'm sure that most of us could not recite it by heart. We can recite the intention, we can recite pieces, but we can't do it all the way through by heart. If you'd like to read it with me, it is in the, I do use the NIV, I'm sorry, I'm such a heretic pastor. But it's the Beatitudes. That's where I want to start. Chapter 5, verse 3. And it begins, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That's not my style. My personal style says I want it now. I don't want to hang around and wait till heaven. There's nothing in this book that tells me when heaven is going to be here. But when Mike Matthews is going to see heaven, there's nothing in here that gives me that. And okay, so I'll be blessed. When? How can it be good news if there's not a time frame around it? This book, this particular passage, is the brackets around good news. And it's in there that we hear such things, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their faith. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. When I first heard that last part of that scripture, I'll give you a hint. That was good news. That at some day, at some time in my future, I will be able to run and not grow weary. I had an older brother who passed away a few years ago who could make paddleball on the beach contact sports. You know, you're just in with a paddleball, a rubber ball. You know, you're having conversation, you're bopping it around and laugh when it gets in the water. Not Jim. No, that was a contact sport to him. You know, it was the first one to the ball. And he had been like that his entire life. We had two paper routes in our family. Back in the days when they actually had paper routes, that you walked or you rode a bike and actually brought paper up to the back door and put it in the back door. Well, quite a while, Jim and I worked the paper routes. And we'd start off, we'd get dropped off at the house on the school bus, drop off the school stuff at home, grab the paper bags, you know, the old, big old canvassy paper bags with the name of the company on the side and the bright. Sometimes, I think right when we ended, they started putting an orange stripe on them. Well, we'd walk down the street. We had about a mile and a half walk to where the papers were dropped. And one route was easier than the other. They both had the same number of papers on the route. But one route was a little easier than the other because it ended back at our house. And the second route was tougher, and it ended up going up a great big large hill. And it wasn't a whole lot of fun to do that route. But Jim, I guess I'd made everything contact sport, so we got just as far as we could out of sight of the house. Beat you there. Whim! And he was running. Every day, Jim got the route that ended at the house, the route that did not have the large hill. And I would just shake my head because he was not going to take William Street, which is was the other road. And then my father took me around one day on it. My bike was broken. Time was late. My dad needed to get somewhere and needed, I guess, me and the other kids to go with him. So I had this habit of doing the route. I would stop at all the houses on the way up the street because that hill was so nice to be on my bike flying down it. Just as fast as I could come down that street. And right at the bottom of the hill was a set of railroad tracks. And just to hit those tracks at full speed, that was fun. And it really was fun. I looked for any rush I could. And slowly at home, it seemed to go all uphill from there. But come down William Street Hill, that was neat. And had my dad give my dad directions. You know, you got to stop here, and here. He said, what are you doing stopping on all those houses up, going up the hill? I said, you got to come down the hill on a bike. That didn't go over too good with him. One, why don't you stop coming down? It would be easier. And two, what are you doing going like a nut on the road on your bicycle? So there's Jim. The good news I would have loved to have found on any one of those paper route days was that Jim had picked up William Street first. That would have been wonderful. That would have been my feeling of good news. And that's probably something I would have remembered out of all the activities that Jim, Dan, and Jerry and I participated in. That's one of the things I would have remembered forever, I know. And Jim was probably, him and I were the closest of the four brothers. And but I'm not talking this morning about that kind of good news. Let me stress to you the good news that I would like to stress. It's the good news in this life that we are living that actually has implications and meaning for not only this world, but the world to come. There is so seldom that we hear a term, hear news, that is meaningful, that we're ready, willing, and able to share, that I have heard from people that they are ready, willing, and able to share. Let me make a case in point. Many things have happened in the kingdom of Christ that it gets a blurb somewhere, oftentimes now a tweeter, you know, or maybe even Facebook, and I have to be honest with you, I have a Facebook page, but I never read it, and I wouldn't know what Twitter is. I wouldn't know what any Twitter or any of the other ones are. I'm still working on email. And my family has a website on Spoke, and the only way I can access that is on my phone. It's supposed to hit me on the email and then just click on a button and bring me over to see my family's email site, the only one of my three units that can go to the internet that can get it is the phone. I don't know. But at least I get the family stuff when I get over there. But the only access that we can get that I ever hear anything on Christian long-lasting, here you go, here's some good news, go and spread it. It's an everlasting good news for you. You find on the internet nowadays. Last night, I thought maybe I'd have some good news to share this morning that I heard last night that would last forever. You see, back in the heyday of his preaching and music, before he got caught outside of the good news, Naomi and I both really enjoyed the ministry and preaching of Jimmy Swaggart. We weren't on his same side on a lot of things, but we really enjoyed the music. And every now and then, his preaching made sense. The gobbledygook didn't make sense, and it was pretty easy to eliminate. So last night, we haven't listened in a long time because all of the stuff that he went through, it kind of negated all the stuff that he'd been saying. But last night, I saw a new Swaggart name on there. So I flipped it over, and it was obviously a third-generation Swaggart. And about 5 or 6 minutes into the show, and they're singing just like I know. It's Ode to Be Like Thee. Nice band on the set, you know, nice visual like we have here, beautiful sounding chorus and worship team. And I listened for about 10 minutes as they sang Just As I Am. Very slowly, very quickly, very loudly, very softly. And I went back to the race car, the races, and I'd flip in on a channel break, and they were singing, Just As I Am, very slowly, very softly. I go back to the races, next commercial, come back to it, Just As I Am. I go back to the races, and I forget what his name was. I don't remember it offhand. It might have been Gabriel, but I'm not certain. And he'd get up to speak, and I'd say, all right. He said, I know I got a sermon to preach tonight, folks, but it's going to have to wait because that's all I want to be. I just want to be like Jesus. So come on back up here. Let's sing some more. Very slowly, very softly, Just As I Am. The show lasted until about 5 minutes of the next hour, or seven, I guess. And that's all they did for that whole hour. Now, I like the song. But I know an awful lot of people I would have left long before then. And Mike, who? I did not get good news from there. Put it aside. Another situation later on was Donnie Schweiger was preaching, same channel. And he had a sermon that wasn't worth listening to. Another hour, Jimmy Swaggart. I thought, how can he be preaching? He wasn't. He was fundraising. I said, okay, where's the good news? Where can I go to find the good news? And I found it. I looked for it. I went back to this, and I read one more verse out of the Sermon on the Mount. I went back to 5:13. It said, you. It started off with the word you. And I felt that finger turn right around. I didn't need my elbow. I did the finger. You are the salt of the earth. But if you lose your saltiness, then the problem starts in my shoes. Then am I sharing the good news? Am I the one that's having the issue? Am I the one that's not saying, man, I went to church last Sunday, and let me tell you, I met a couple there that they're just the sweetest couple, and they're in love with the Lord. They go all out for Christ, and whatever other specifics I can add to it, and I can find two or three people to tell that to in the coming weeks and days. And then there's another time and says, you know, I was downtown and this guy was broken down. His car was broken down. I was able to help him get it fixed up, and he was so glad for that. And I just told him, well, it's not me, it's the Lord. And he was just praising God with me, you know. And I said, I don't know if he knows the Lord or not, but the fact that I was able to share the good news in actual form, do it in act. I turned the verse around to me and said, it's me, Mike, you got to do it. It's all me, you know, from my shoes to the top of my head. Well, that's not quite so high, but to the top of my head. And then I said, okay, what else is it that I need to do? Am I deaf? Am I deaf? Have I turned a deaf ear to the good news that's being spread around me? Have I turned that deaf ear to the messages that I do hear on the internet? And I sat long and hard and thought, because I get all of our denominational publications mostly through the internet. Pensions and Benefits still sends me the snail mail kind. I like that because I like getting mail. So they send me the snail mail, but I can read a lot of the good news. And even if I'm just sharing it with brothers and sisters, you know, boy, we get this information from, you know, our headquarters. And boy, does it make sense? And is it timely? And be able to share the good news, maybe only with brothers and sisters, but I'm sharing the good news. So I'm not really deaf. If I keep my ears open, there is good news. Now, we know that at the end of most every news broadcast, the company that's doing the news tries to figure in a happy story. You know, a cat got found, a missing piece of jewelry for 100 years got found, all that kind of stuff. And that's good, but that's the kind of good news that goes in one ear, sticks around a minute, and leaves. I'm talking about this everlasting good news. And I've heard people tell me, you know, I've been praying for years for my brother, and things just went on and on and on. And I probably heard about it a long time earlier, and I've been praying for their brother too. And guess what? They come to me one day and said, you know, my brother got saved. They got off of the alcohol, and my brother got saved. And that's exciting. And in that second, I'm excited. I'm happy. I join with the chorus of angels. And then I go do something. And maybe a week later, I might remember I heard it. That's another me problem. It's what am I retaining? Am I so absorbed in the bad news? Because you can be. It doesn't take much to get so absorbed in the political mayhem that's going on around us. July 3rd, a friend pulled in to visit Naomi and I. Rick, I met Rick when I was in the fourth grade. I live in a very small town. But for some reason back then, it is no longer, but back then, it was West Upton and Upton, and they were differentiated by two post offices. And because at one point we had two representatives from the town, so the government built two post offices. And the people over in Upton went to one elementary school, and the people in West Upton had their own elementary school. But in the fourth grade, both schools merged over to Memorial School. And that's when I met Rick, because he was from Upton. I was from West Upton, much better place. And so I met Rick. We became friends real fast, and him and I have been like brothers ever since. Well, he is a believer. He believes in the Lord Jesus, and he came to that on his own. I don't know how much my witness had to do with it or not, but I'm glad he's a believer. But he is also a very dyed-in-the-wool, ultra-supra, you can't get any more intense conservative than him, and vocal than him on any conservative issue you can think of. And you can bet your bottom dollar that that's going to be what the conversation revolves around, because that's the only place he's going with it. He will find a way to turn it right back to there as fast and as soon as he can. This particular season, he has wearing a baseball cap supporting his candidate, and he'll wear it everywhere and anywhere just to get the conversation started. What's the good news in that, in seeing Rick and seeing him July 3rd and July 4th? The good news in all that one is that, yeah, we've still been friends through all these years, and then after our 30th reunion, he met his current wife, and a classmate of ours whose Rick's wife had died and her fiancé had died. But the good news in all of that is Rick still loves his Lord. In spite of a few setbacks here and there, he's still in love with the Lord. And he won't share it, but I will, and he knows it. And it drives his wife crazy because she's not much into this religion stuff. You know, and she knows that every time we're together, that's what I'm bringing up. Why don't I hear any good news? Okay, I'm not deaf. I'm certainly not dumb in either sense of the words. I can speak. I can choose to say what I need to say or not. And so it's up to me. That finger's coming right back to me again. I don't hear any good news because I don't share any good news. You know, I may not share any news because I'm not really one to go around spouting bad news, but I may not share any news. And it's important to the world that we who live in the good news, the life of Jesus Christ, we need to share good news. And if we don't hear it any other place, every day when we do, and I'm not making it optional, when we do our own personal devotions, when we spend time in prayer, we are in touch with the good news. And we should be getting something from the Holy Word that tells us the good news of Jesus Christ. And I firmly believe that. We're not mute. I'm not mute. Most of you would say I'm sometimes very loquacious. Well, I should not be picking and choosing. Well, I can pick and choose the style of how I speak. I can pick and choose the way I get into the topic. But man, I should at every opportunity take the time to confess personally that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Has been since December of 79 and will be until he comes again. And you know what else we shouldn't be? And this is the subject of my sermon. This is the verse that I want you to take home because it's the toughest verse. Some of us continue in earnest, and I'm one of them, continue in earnest to pray for loved ones that do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It breaks my heart. I know it breaks Naomi's heart. That we have a son, but we have other relatives too that do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We try to find ways of making the message viable to them. We try and find all kinds of different ways, from silence and example to just short of Bible thumping, to get the message across. It does not always get across. Sometimes it gets across, but only if it's a maybe. And so it really, really is a struggle and is a deep, deep prayer. But we know what we're asking for when we go to Revelation. When you go to the last book of Revelation, I learned the verse from the King James. NIV says it differently, and I'm sure Pastor has it even different. So I'm going to call on him to actually read verse 20 of the last chapter of Revelation.
Ready?
Yep.
He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus."
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And most of us can remember probably what we originally learned from the "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus," which is the way we originally heard the verse. And we know that even when we pray that, we're kind of putting the pressure on those people that we love and really wish that they would come to know Jesus. But there comes a point in our life when we pray, "Okay, God, time to come. We've read the signs. We know what you point out to be the signs and symbols of the time of your coming." And I'm thinking really, really hard, and I don't know of any other signs. I can't figure it out. And can you come quickly, as John prayed? I don't know of any others, but I want to ask at the end of this message, is very simple words that follow it. When it is written, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people," would you please, in this next week, take the time, take the opportunity to tell, to share, or to hear three pieces of good news that will last longer than this week? It can be personal, hear it from somebody else, even take it off the tube, internet, wherever. But it's going to last longer than this week. Something that, even if it happens to someone else, you might be saying, hey, you know what I heard or read? That means a lot to me. If you could do that, then that's even cheaper than the World Mission Broadcast, which we all like to donate to, we all had an opportunity to, and it's still not too late to donate to for sending the word and sharing the good news. So here I am, up to the last word of the Bible, and asking the question, why don't I hear any good news? Because I'm not focused on hearing any good news. I am not concentrating that particular finger. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its saltiness, question, have you lost your saltiness? For nuts like me who like salt on my food, have I lost my saltiness? How about you? Share and tell. This book is coming week. Some good news, long-lasting, eternal good news that you can keep in your head and share with someone else. Let's stand, please. And as we're standing, if there's anyone that has any kind of conviction of any sort of, wow, letting the saltiness go, but not sharing the good news when opportunities have arisen, I'd like to pray with you. I don't pray anybody. There's a lot of people here that would just pray with you or allow you to pray by yourself. You are invited. But Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We come to you, Lord God, that you would restore the saltiness. We may not be bland and saltless, but Father, it can happen. And we would ask you, Lord God, to keep us from that place. We would ask you, Lord God, to keep the Beatitudes in our heart, in our mind, that we might become as many of those as possible. Because, Lord God, we would truly like to be able to share that particular kind of life to the rest of the world. And, Father, in the midst of all that goes on, in the midst of our illnesses, our angries, in the midst of our work situations and home situations, in the midst of our financial struggles, Heavenly Father, you are there. You're the good news that can help put it all together if we are willing to. You're not willing just to go through a quick fix. But you have your plan mapped out for us, and that's what we're planning on, and that's what we desire. And this morning, Heavenly Father, it's not impossible, but we do pray. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord. Oh God, this is what your people pray, that at some point at your choosing, that you come and redeem your children. And God, we ask it all in Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Amen.